Thank you so much for being here this morning for the Baker family. We're going to open in a word of prayer, and then we're going to have Zach come and lead us in a song. Heavenly Father, I do thank you for this morning, Lord. I thank you so much for the testimony, for the life, for the legacy of Brother Corbett Baker. Thank you for what he's meant to this church, to me personally, and Lord, to every person that's here, and the countless others, Lord, that weren't able to be here this morning. What a blessing and a comfort it is for us to know that he's with you this morning, Lord. I pray that you would comfort the family at this time. I pray that you would bless this service. We'll be sure to give you the praise for all that you do. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
We're going to start by singing, "And Can It Be?"
Can it be that I should gain an interest in the Savior's blood? Died he for me who caused his pain, for me through him to death pursue? Amazing love, can it be that thou, my God, shouldst die for me? Amazing love, how can it be that thou, my God, shouldst die for me? He left his Father's throne above, so free, so infinite his grace. Emptied himself, all God love, and bled for Adam's helpless race. Mercy all immense and free, for, oh my God, it found out me. Amazing love, how can it be that thou, my God, shouldst die for me?
Nonetheless,
long my imprisoned spirit lay, fast bound in sin and nature's night. Thine I diffuse quickening ray, I woke the dungeon flamed with light. My chains fell off, my heart was free. Rose went forth, follow thee. My chains fell off, how can it be that thou, my God, shouldst die for me?
Amen. Thank you, Zach. The book of Ephesians, as most of our church folks know, and those that know Brother Baker well, was one of Brother Baker's favorites. It's one of many preachers' favorites. It's a great, great epistle. So much about it is such a blessing. If you just take the time to read it as a pastor, for me personally, it's such a blessing. And I have to tell you, Wednesday, after I was over at the Baker house, I came in here to the office and I sat down in my office downstairs and I read through the entire book of Ephesians with Brother Baker in mind. And it changes everything. It gives it whole new meaning, a whole new understanding when you think about somebody who's just made that journey from death into life everlasting. And it has been this whole, the last couple of days now, I've continued to read through it, and every time it just is a joy to my heart, an encouragement to my heart. Brother Baker, I didn't know him well. Many of you don't know me well. My name is Aaron King. I'm the pastor here. And to me, Brother Baker always will be Pastor Baker. He has always been such a blessing and encouragement to me. I'm humbled to call him a friend of mine. And he is a man that to me loved God most of all, loved the Word of God, but loved his wife, loved his children. Every time I went to his house to visit with him, he would tell me that he had the best wife in the whole world. He told me every time, she's so wonderful to me, she takes such good care of me, she's better than I deserve, and I just agreed with him. I continue to agree with him. What a blessing that Miss Evelyn has been to Brother Baker, of course to our entire church, but especially to him. And then of course, he would always talk about his girls, about Valerie and Kim, and how proud he was of Kim and Tom and the church there. And, you know, every time, you know, I've got a son-in-law, Tom, and he's a preacher, and he's the best preacher in the whole world, and he's just wonderful. And through these last couple months, everything that their family's been through, and he's just so proud of them and of Valerie, and she kind of takes care of everybody and looks after everybody and makes sure things are taken care of. And Jonathan, every time he talked about Jonathan, he's just a good boy. He is such a good boy. That Jonathan, there aren't many young men like him. He's a hard worker and a good boy, and he takes care of me, and he's good to us. But he loved God, and he loved the Word of God, and he loved his family, and he loved the people of God. He loved to be in church. Every time, even to the very last couple of weeks, he'd tell me, I'd usually be Saturdays when I'd go over there and visit, and he'd say, I think I'm going to be in church tomorrow. I'm planning to be in church tomorrow. And he most of the time made it up until these last couple of months. He'd make it to church when he planned to be here. And that's such a blessing and encouragement to me. But I'm going to preach to you this morning out of Ephesians chapter number 1. Ephesians chapter number 1, the first couple of verses. Verse number 1, Paul says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. And then verse 3 says this, Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Let's pray this morning. Heavenly Father, I do thank you once again for this time. I do ask, Lord, that you'd add your blessing to your word this morning. Lord, I know if there's one thing that would be the heartbeat of Brother Baker, it'd be if there's somebody here that doesn't know you as their Savior today, that they'd get that settled once and for all. But Lord, I pray that you'd be with us as we look at some of the spiritual blessings that you've blessed us with. Help us to be thankful, Lord, for what you've given to us and not to take it for granted. We love you. Bless, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. All spiritual blessings. You think about the things that God has blessed us with, and I really honestly believe when I think of Brother Baker, I think of a man that was tremendously blessed. He was blessed in his family. He was blessed in his ministry. He was blessed in his testimony, blessed by his friends. So many people last night, I had the privilege last night to meet many people for the very first time. And I know the Baker family has been a staple in this community for a very, very long time. But just to hear about some of the stories of the different, you know, run-ins that people had and the memories that people have of Brother Baker and the lives that he touched. But I believe that if there's one thing he would want people to know, people that are saved, people that have accepted Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, he'd want them to be aware of the spiritual blessings that they've been afforded. You see several spiritual blessings in this passage of Scripture. First of all, in verse number 4, the end of the verse there, it says this. It says that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. That is a spiritual blessing, something that we've been blessed. When we stand before God, when Brother Baker on Wednesday morning saw the face of our Lord Jesus Christ for the very first time, because of what Jesus Christ did on the cross,
Amen.
He could stand before God holy. Holy and without blame. That's one of the spiritual blessings that you and I have been blessed with. The opportunity to stand holy before God. I can't do that by myself. You can't do that by yourself. But because of the blessing of what God has done for us, what Jesus Christ did for you and I, we can stand holy, and Brother Baker can stand holy before God. Then in verse 5, this is a blessing I know to me personally, but also in the Baker family. We see something in verse 5. He says, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will. Another blessing that we have, not only the blessing of being able to be holy before God, but also we have the blessing of being adopted into His family. We didn't belong. We were grafted in. My wife was adopted by her dad. And I think about that. You think her father died when she was young. Her mom got remarried and her dad adopted her. And I think about that. You know, I've never been through that personally, but my wife has, and to hear her talk about that feeling of being somebody saying, I choose. You know, our children, I have 4 children. I didn't get to pick any of them. That's what God gave to me, and I'm thankful for them. But the fact of the matter is, in adoption, those that are doing the adopting, which is the Lord Jesus Christ, God Almighty, chose to adopt you and I. That is one of the spiritual blessings that we have because of what Jesus Christ did on the cross. Then in verse number 7, this is something that, again, we can rejoice in. Verse 7 says this, in whom we have redemption through His blood. Another spiritual blessing that we have is that of redemption. To be redeemed, to be bought back. You know, He made you and I. He created us. But then He redeemed us. He bought us back with the only price the only thing that could pay that price, which is the blood of the holy, spotless Lamb of God. A spiritual blessing that you and I have been afforded is that of redemption. If you're here this morning and you've not experienced that spiritual blessing of redemption, let today be that day. Let today be that day. The Bible says, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. I don't know what tomorrow is going to bring, and neither do you. Behold, now is the accepted time. Today is the day. If you've already done that, then you know that you've already experienced that spiritual blessing of redemption. Something that you can't come about any other way than through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then we see in verses 8 and 9, another blessing. I think about this, and I'll read the verses in a minute, but I think about this, you know. We were talking yesterday, I was talking to Miss Evelyn. We were looking at some of the pictures as they went across the slideshow there at the funeral home. And some of the things, Brother Baker's pride and joy in different areas, the things that he was able to build, or the things that he had that he was so proud of. She talked about his orange Volvo that he was always so proud of. And he said, after I got that Volvo, everybody in White County thought they needed a Volvo because I had my orange Volvo. I know that when I came along, of course, after the orange Volvo times, but he had that little white pickup truck that was parked out there next to his shop. And that was one of his pride and joy. He'd always, whenever I'd go over there and see him, did you see my truck out there by my shop? I love that little truck. I need to get that thing out and take it for a drive. And Mr. Evelyn was saying that he gave it to Jonathan. And that was part of Jonathan's inheritance, something that was passed down to him, something that's given to you and I to remember that person that gave it to us. And we see in verses 8 and 9 in this passage, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us that mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself. We see in those verses, first of all, the revelation of his will. You know, there's something about the fact that God's will in our life doesn't have to be a mystery. Every single person in this room, God had a will. God has a will for your life. God had a will. God had a plan for Pastor Corbett Baker. For almost 20 years, he pastored this church. Wednesday night, several of our folks gave testimony to the influence that Brother Baker was on their life. And I'm sure everybody in this room could give testimony of the different ways that he impacted your life. Some of you for eternity. Some of you came to the Lord Jesus Christ, came to know Him as your Savior as a result of the testimony and the ministry of Pastor Corbett Baker. And I believe that if he was standing behind this pulpit today, he would tell you this. God has a will and a plan for your life. And He doesn't desire for it to be a mystery. One of the spiritual blessings that we can have today because of Jesus Christ is to have God's will for our life revealed to us. He doesn't intend for it to be a mystery to us. He said He's made known that mystery. But then in verse number 11, it says this, and in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will. You and I this morning, if you've accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, the very moment that that happened, you obtained something. You've obtained an inheritance. You've obtained an inheritance. We have a godly heritage. There'll be some things, I'm sure, that Brother Baker has left for each of his children, grandchildren, different things. None more valuable than the legacy and the testimony that he leaves. But in Jesus Christ, we have something far more valuable than any physical inheritance we could ever receive. And that is eternal life, something that we have inherited. We were adopted into. None of us could earn it, could deserve it. But Jesus Christ did that for you and I. These spiritual blessings that He's afforded to you and I. A lot of people in their life through different times, and this is a difficult time for everybody that knew Brother Baker. But the truth of the matter is, you and I today, if you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, we are a truly, truly blessed people. The opportunity that the children had to grow up in a God-centered home, a home where God was first, the things of God, the place of God, church was important, the Word of God was important. You can't place a value on that. The opportunity to serve God, the blessings that we have through these things because of what Jesus Christ has done. One, it's for us to focus, those that are saved this morning and those that know Brother Baker, to focus on how blessed we are. But two, I'll say again, if you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, the best thing you could ever do for Brother Baker, for anybody in his family, anybody that ever knew him, would tell you, there's nothing to be more of a blessing to him than for you today to get that settled and to be adopted into that family and to become a recipient of all of those spiritual blessings. They're not things that we deserve. They're things that we've been blessed with. Let's have every head bowed and every eye closed this morning. The Lord has blessed us with all spiritual blessings. Heavenly Father, I do thank you for the blessings that you've bestowed upon me, Lord, throughout my life in so many different areas I can't even begin to count. The temporal and earthly blessings, but Lord, far more important than that, the spiritual blessings that you've blessed each one of us with that know you as our Savior. God, I pray that in times like these, you'd give us the strength Paul talked about in this passage as well, the grace and peace that can only come from the Lord Jesus Christ. I pray that you'd bring that today. But Lord, I pray that you'd help us to be able to focus a little bit today on how truly blessed of a people we are. God, I love you so much. I pray that you'd be with the remainder of this service. Pray that you'd be with the Baker family today, Lord. We love you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. At this time, Zach and Anna and Ellie are going to come and sing a song for us.
Or pen can ever tell. It goes beyond the highest star and reaches to the lowest hell. The guilty pair bowed down with care. God gave his son to win. His erring child he reconciled, pardoned from his sin. O love of God, how rich and pure, how measureless and strong. It shall forevermore endure the saints and angels. Could we with ink the ocean fill, and were the skies of parchment made, were every stock on earth a quill, and every man a scribe by trade, to write the love of God above would drain the ocean dry. Nor could the scroll contain the whole, stretch from sky to sky. O love of God, how rich and pure, how measureless and strong. It shall forevermore endure the saints and angels' song.
Brother Ann's already said one of the favorite books of Brother Baker's life was Ephesians. And the Bible says, for by grace are you saved through faith. That not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. I thought about what I could say this morning to comfort Sister Evelyn and the family and the kin folks and friends. And in many funerals that I've been to and have helped on funerals, it never gets easy when you say goodbye to a friend. They say if you're, you got one friend, you're rich. I feel poor this morning. But Brother Baker, since I've known him, is one of the finest men I believe I've ever seen. I told Sister Evelyn, that is a true Southern gentleman. People, when you met him, you met a man. We had fun together. We joked a lot and cut up, but I imagine Wednesday night, as we call it night, of course it's always day, always springtime in glory. I bet he had a good time. I imagine he had a real good time. makes you sort of homesick, don't it? If you're going there. If you're not, you're in trouble anyway. But brother, I tell you, again, one of his favorite passages, and we talked about it, was in chapter 4 of Ephesians. And I think this sums up his life pretty much. Paul said, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech ye that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with longsuffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There's one body and one Spirit, even as you're called in one hope you're called in. The first part of that I like, where it says, the walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called. He walked worthy. He did what the Bible said. He walked worthy with the vocation where he was called. He had a teacher and so forth, but he was a preacher. He was a man of God. I can tell you about him writing a paper for Jonathan, and both of them got in trouble at school for it. John said he was trying to find out, his daddy was trying to find out if he could make a good grade or not. But just one of the few things that he joked about, but he was serious about his Savior. He was serious about his Lord and Savior. People, there's only one way you leave this life if you want to see Brother Baker again, and that's to know that Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior. Because this is not the end. So if you're, this is just the beginning. We're going to miss him for a little while. And I told you what Dr. Vance Havner said. When his wife passed away, somebody said, I'm sorry you lost your wife. He said, you don't lose nothing when you know where it's at. Brother, I'm glad Brother Baker left a testimony that the old song says, when they follow to the graveside, I'm so glad I let them know. Glory to God, I got a better place to go. Brother Baker has got a better place. Abraham looked for a city whose builder and maker was God. Brother Baker found it. It's assurance, people, that you have of knowing that you'll meet again. Comfort the family. Don't just forget about it after a couple of weeks, a month or two. You call Sister Ellen and talk to her. Tell her you love her. Tell the family that you love them. Show them that you love them. Go by and see them. Help her with her yard. Somebody help her with her yard. I mean, y'all didn't get that, did you? That's God, she's proud of that. Brother Baker was proud of it. I'd go over and see him. I said, Where's your better half? Outside raking leaves? You know, working and things. People, again, few people ever impress you in life. And I've met many, many people. I've met the Vice President of the United States. He didn't impress me. Not the one we got now. He don't impress anybody, I don't think. But the one I'm talking about years ago, I met him when I was in the military. And you meet a lot of people, a lot of important people. And your family's important to you. But you'll never meet a man like Brother Baker. Very few people you'll run across in life that impresses you. And he left me an impression. I wished I could be half the person he was. Half the patron he is, let's put it like that. He's alive, people. This old body's going back to dust. But we're going to meet again. Because Jesus said, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. Then he said, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go, he did, I will come again, he is, and receive you to myself, that where I am there, you may be also. So people, rejoice. Be exceedingly glad. We're going to meet again. He just got there ahead of us. Amen. Again, Sister Elder and the family, God loves you. And the Bible teaches us there are different kinds of grace. But there's grace to die by. There's grace to keep you going. It'll be hard. Don't let nobody tell you it won't be hard. It'll be hard in life to get used to seeing somebody that you was with for years. But this is not the end, people. This is just the beginning. So when you leave this place today, you rejoice in the hope that there is hope beyond the grave. And if there's not, you must be the saddest person in all the world. You must be in terrible, terrible pain and misery. Bless God, Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin left a crimson stain, but he washed it white as snow. Sister Evelyn, we love you. These people love you. Love the family. As we go over yonder, I don't know what else to say except may God's grace be sufficient today. May we pray. Father, we thank you for the day that we have of rejoicing the homegoing of Brother Baker. God, we thank you for his life and for his testimony. He wasn't perfect. None of us are. But he's about as near perfect as you're going to get right now. And Father, we thank you that you loved him enough, that you died for him, that you saved him. We thank you for his family. And again, Father, we just ask you grace be on the family today and friends that love him. Go with us from this place, Father, to the cemetery. God, may we rejoice in knowing that there's a better day coming very soon. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen.
Sing Amazing Grace.
Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I now am found. 'Twas wine, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed. Through many toils and snares I have already gone. 'Tis grace that brought me safe thus far, and grace will lead the Lord has promised good to me. His word, my hope, secure. He will my shield and portion be. As long as life endures, yea, when this flesh and heart shall fail, and mortal life shall cease, I shall possess within the veil a life of joy.